everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I hope everyone had a very good Purim, if you are following the calendar that I provided. There wasn't a whole lot you could do with that feast day. I mean, I didn't do an offering because it didn't really say to do an offering. But also, it does say that you must give alms or gifts to the poor. So every Purim, either on the 14th or the 15th day, I go down to the Salvation Army and I drop off clothes, which would fulfill that ordinance. But all in all, it's a good little feast day to do in remembrance of Sister Hadassah or Esther. But the one thing I wondered is, did she ended up having children with the Persian king? Was she let go now that he found out that she was an Israelite? Or did she die in the service of the king? They really don't go too far into it. I would like to know, did she ever have children though? Was she ever let go? Or was she just did she become just one of the wives? And Yashrael, you know, obviously left captivity out of Medai or Persia, and she just stayed there and lived out her entire life as the queen of Persia. I think that also has similarities with why people keep saying King Selassie is like the tribe of Judah or the Lion of Judah. I don't know where that terminology even came from, because he has no bloodline connection to Yasharel. His wife had a bloodline to Yasharel. His wife was connected through Shem. So I wonder. Anyway, has anyone seen the little Lil Wayne concert? The one that he came back out now is all ripped up. Somebody said he also looks bloated. How can somebody look bloated and ripped? And then people are saying, oh, he was cloned. I'm like, why do y'all believe that when people alter their appearances, they are cloned? They've talked about this cloning for years, for decades now. And they only shown you that it can clone an animal, never clone a human being. Why do you think men have that much power? They can clone an entire human being without a ruach, without a soul. You really think the Most High is allowing them to just clone individuals and heap sin upon individuals without a soul that is given by the Most High Yahuwah to be out here just willy-nilly and doing concerts and stuff? Why do y'all think that? Y'all choose like the lowest frequency people that can be replaced, and they show you they can replace them. They show you that they sacrifice them. They don't really care for artists like that. Why do you think they're just cloning them to keep them going? It makes no sense. Just because they came up with that movie, they cloned Tyrone, it truly doesn't make any sense. You're putting way more power into media, into their lies, than you do the Most High Yahuwah. Even if people who don't know the Most High Yahuwah, it's the delusion. It's the strong delusion that's set on the minds of the people who are truly ignorant and foreign to the wisdom and the ruach of Yahuwah and Yahusha. So he came out on the concert stage looking ripped up. Now, obviously, he had already looked ripped in his younger years, but being 43, your body slows down. In order to enhance your body, you would have to be on what the baseball players were on, the home run hitters, HGH, which was a human growth hormone. And when you're on that hormone, your body gets bigger, your face changes, it blocks out. Like if it used to have a round face, your face be bigger, or it makes it blockier. Or it could just been on steroids. Because anytime that somebody has that bloatness in their stomach and have abs, is due to steroid use. anabolic steroid use. So that could also be another thing, because obviously people were making fun of his appearance and his voice and his energy. Like, he was always on lean. He's always drunk. He's always high. I don't think he stopped that. I don't think he stopped being high. I don't think he stopped smoking weed. So all of a sudden now he wanted to get fit from the last Super Bowl, when the appearance that you see him in concert a little bit before the last Super Bowl, to validate why they didn't choose him to be a Super Bowl performer, to now, like a couple of months, like, yeah, he could have done steroids, been in the gym, and ate okay. Not necessarily become a vegan, but he could have ate okay for his appearance to look the way it is. And then people say, oh, you can't see his tattoos. You can see his tattoos. If you zoom in close enough, you can see it. The lighting and what they use, it looks like he didn't have any tattoos on his body, but you can see them. If you really truly had vision, you can see. So that's becoming a thing now. It just amazes me in this generation what they think is truth based on what they think they see. And it's never truly what they see. Which is why I know that the Most High is not playing when he says a stupor will seize the inhabitants of the land. And not just America, all over this land. But anyway, getting into that Yah Scriptures book that I was told to download and read instead of the Sefer. I just kept reading like I said I would. I said I was going to keep reading to see what else I was going to find. So in the Writings of Abraham, chapter 74, it goes, when the sovereign had been Barak, he was recovered and he praised Yahuwah for his recovery. This story is what the story you read, I think, in Jubilees or Yasher, where Abraham's wife, Sarah, was taken by the Egyptian king. And the whole story of Abraham telling Sarah to tell the Egyptian king that you are my sister. You don't want to tell them that you are my wife because they could kill me. And that was it. You could kill me and they would just take you, because that's the manner of the business of the Hamites back then. Obviously, you know, the bloodline of Ham comes through into Sodom and Gomorrah. So the perversion of Ham and their entire bloodline is the reason why people were in fear to bring their wives around them. It says, wherefore I took him into his garden and immersed him in the name of Yahuwah and all his household with him. So it's saying Abraham, before Yochanan, before Yahusha was baptized, being the first one being baptized or immersed in water, it's saying that Abraham, when he came to take back his wife Sarah, after the plague broke out over the king of Egypt's house, that he took the Pharaoh into his garden and immersed him in the name of Yahuwah. I could tell how this story is made up. And when I had broke him again, Sarah came before him, and he knew that he had been healed, for the Ruach of Elohim fell upon him with his testimony, and the witness thereof was sure. The whole house caught the plague, and they released Sarah back to Abraham, and then they took the entire household, his servants and him, into his garden and baptized him, immersed him in the name of Yahuwah. And that's not mentioned anywhere in scripture before Yahusha or Yochanan was baptizing or immersing in water. But Abraham was doing it. Then, this is the funniest one, chapter 85 in the Writings of Abraham. Not many days then, under the direction of Yahuwah, I departed from Bethel and settled in the plains of Mamre on the northeast of Hebron. And there I built an altar and offered an offering to the Most High Yahuwah and dedicated that land unto Yahuwah. And I held a great feast to Yahuwah, for the time of Pesah had come, and together with all the men of my household invited Mamre, Anaram, Eshcol, my friends who were wanderers in the land as we were, and who had joined the believers in the Most High Elohim into the solemn assembly. And after this, all my people ate and drank together with me before Yahuwah. And I held a great feast to Yahuwah, for the time of the Pesach had come. This is before his descendants even set foot in Egypt. So they were already doing the Passover. Man, I swear, people don't even read these things before they start propagating them to other believers. Like, yo, you should read this. Yo, you should read that. You should read this. And I kind of see why this book was made. Its app is similar, so similar to the Sefer. And it's getting weak believers in the community, in the Israelite community, because it has the Paleo-Hebrew script. It's using the Tetragrammaton Paleo-Hebrew script of Yahuwah and Yahusha's name. That pulls people in. And it's more books. So you think, oh, I'm getting more knowledge if I read all of these books. Chapter 109. And on the eighth day shall you do it, that you may remember that on the eighth day they shall be immersed, that the Baraka of the Basorah may come upon them. This is according to the covenant I made with Adam in the Garden of Eden. But I instructed Noah and Shem not to administer this covenant to you, that you might receive it in token of this new covenant which I make with you. Although I gave these ordinances in the beginning to Adam, yet the sons of men have continually gone astray from my precepts and have not kept my ordinances which I gave to their fathers. So it ain't even about the eighth day circumcision. Now it's the eighth day being immersed. And that's nowhere else found in scripture, that on the eighth day they started immersing. Chapter 103, the writings of Abraham, verse 9 and 10. And Yahuwah said unto me, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land which shall not be theirs, and shall be in bondage to strangers, even to the seed of Ham, who shall again overrun the land of Mizraim. And your seed shall be afflicted and serve them 400 years. But at that time I shall judge the seed of Ham, and your seed shall come out of the land of Mizraim with great substance. This is a great telltale sign that somebody or our enemy went behind us and tried to change this prophecy. Because if you go to Yasher, if you think the Sefer is put out by a Freemason, if you go to Yasher, it talks about how they were in Egypt for 400 years of affliction. They were afflicted 200 and some years. 200 and some years. I want to say 280. 200 and some years. They were afflicted. Hard bondage. Hard labor. It doesn't say 400. Now, they lived there 430 years. And not all of those years were in affliction. Only 280 some years were in affliction. That's in the book of Yasher. So why would they change that prophecy and make it seem like Genesis 15:13 is actually the bondage of Egypt and not bondage to America? Again, they're trying to, again, usurp our bloodline for theirs. And they're trying to use the Paleo-Hebrew script that they know people fell for. Because you remember the time that even Jordan Davis was coming out, Become Set Apart was coming out. It was, oh, we can't call them Yahuwah anymore. We got to call him Ahayah. And all he did was use the title of the great I am. Tell him I said that I am that I am. So he said, he used the Hebrew version of I am that I am, Ahayah, and said that this is his name now. So everybody was making jewelry, making earrings, saying that now we don't call him Yahuwah. We don't call him Yahweh. We call him Ahayah. So everybody went on that little boat for a while. And then he changed it again. So it's a tetragrammaton that we need to say it this way, or just use the letters that, because his name is so holy. And people just fell for it. People jumped on bandwagons. Oh, we don't call him this, we call him that. Then, of course, people who are in camps call him Yahawashi and Yahuwah something else, Yahawah or something. It was just going around in circles, going around in circles, going around in circles. So what they've done is paid attention to what community, what camp is out here teaching and preaching. And I guarantee you, whoever told me to read these books got it from either a camp or somebody who was just too weak to understand these scriptures and definitely didn't read them. but just heard about this book and just downloaded and said, okay, we're going to live by this book. Last one, the writings of Abraham, chapter 109. Your daughters also shall be circumcised upon the marriage bed when the matrix is opened by the entrance of her husband, for this is a Kodesh ordinance and is completed at the birth of her firstborn. Wherefore it is written that the firstborn which opened the matrix is Kodesh, because it is an instrument in the performance of a Kodesh ordinance. Now go into Mishkan and fast and pray until Noah comes to bestow upon you the keys of which I have spoken. It starts to sound like a magic book, like Harry Potter and the Deathly Swallows or something like that. That's what it sounds like. Your daughters also shall be circumcised upon the marriage bed. There's no other scriptural ordinance, even in Leviticus, that talks about our daughters needing to be circumcised on the bed. Even in the book of Tobit, when a woman lost seven of her husbands in the marriage chamber, it doesn't say anywhere, even when Tobit came, or Tobiyahu came, that they circumcised her. Like, so imagine this woman about to get married. So you're trying to tell me they tried to circumcise this woman seven times because they didn't know if her husband was going to be alive afterwards or not? Or was she circumcised once? And so if you circumcise once, why would any other person want to marry her? So this is what I'm saying. The ignorance of things being put together, and you should know where they come from. When the matrix is opened. Talking about the vagina, calling it the matrix. That was already a telltale sign. I'm like, man, I couldn't even read this no more after that. But the whole thing about the female circumcision, they do this in the Middle East. Muslims do it. Certain Christians do it. Ethiopian Jews do it. So I don't know where, I know where they kind of gotten the idea, and when they put this book together, they wanted to, again, bring it to the Middle East. Again, they want to bring it into religion so people wouldn't truly understand that this book is a forgery, or these books that they've coming out with are forgeries. I don't know where they got this book. I don't know if it's in the Dead Sea Scrolls or not, but I know that book isn't correct. So if that book isn't correct and it's talking about Abraham, I can only imagine the other books that were somewhat taken out, or the apocryphal books that were added back on this app, if they are even in truth. But anyway, I was thinking about Enoch, because I go back and forth a lot when I look at the calendar, or people send me verses that has something with Enoch in it, and I tend to keep reading into Enoch. And I was thinking that just like Yahuwah mocked the Egyptians with their idols by those plagues, so obviously lice, frogs, bad weather, those were all properties of the Egyptian idols or the Egyptian gods that they set up in Egypt that was attributing to certain, obviously to certain animals and the certain diseases and certain things that went on. So obviously Horus and Seth, like it was about the sun, and the Most High darkened Egypt for 3 days. I mean, they had a god for frogs. They have a god for lice. They have a god for animals or ox. Because you see some of those Egyptian gods have horns. And then they, of course, the apex bull. So the Most High sending locusts and flies and lice on bulls and the livestock and destroying them, even the firstborn of the livestock. That all goes back to an Egyptian god. So it's also mentioned in Jubilees in the book of Enoch, in the Sefer, that in the manner in which a man is killed, he shall be killed also. So if you go to Revelation, it says, he that leads in captivity shall go in captivity. So when I found this verse in Enoch, it sounds just like something the Most High would definitely do. Enoch 54 in the Sefer, verse 7-11. In those days shall punishment go forth from Yahuwah Sabaoth, and the receptacles of water which are above the heavens shall be opened, and the fountains likewise, which are under the heavens and under the earth. All the waters which are in the heavens and above them shall be mixed together. The water which is above heaven shall be the male, and the water which is under the earth shall be the female. And all shall be destroyed who dwell upon the earth and who dwell under the extremities of heaven. By these means shall they understand the iniquity which they have committed on earth, and by these means shall they perish. Amazing how Yahuwah is. So what he's saying is, since the fallen angels came down and had children with the daughters of men, and fornication was pretty much the most disgusting sin that you could do under the eyes of the Most High Yahuwah. And the reason why the earth became corrupted is because everybody was fornicating with children, their mothers, their bloodline, themselves, animals. And of course, the angels leaving their habitation to make giants and hybrid races with human women. So the reason why the whole world was corrupted is because of fornication. Men killing each other because they wanted to fornicate. Men fornicating with men, women fornicating with women. So the Most High said, all right, you want to do all this fornicating and corrupt this world? I'm going to destroy you by naming the waters above men and waters below women and mixing them together. It'd be just like the waters fornicating. That is how the Most High is awesome in his knowledge and understanding and making sure if you created an entire world, you definitely, because if you stood outside of this world, you definitely could see the Most High destroying people or recompensing their deeds upon their own heads because he has the power to do so. So even when there were no real devices that came into this world, no drones, no automatic weapons, no bow, no archery. Like, well, obviously, if you read the book, you know, it talks about the breastplate, the swords, and all that. But I'm saying, like, if we modernized it, that the Most High took something so simple out of his creation to mock the inhabitants of the entire world at that time. It's all right, I'm going to get you for fornicating. That's how you're going to go down. That's why we call these sexual spirits water spirits, do we not? That's why we call them water spirits. That's why a lot of sex worship, they create gods, especially in Yoruba, which they came out with a movie called Blood and Bone, which is an ode to the Orishas and the mythology of Yoruba. That all of a sudden that the woman who wrote the book is upset. They do this every time somebody who writes a book and comes out with a movie. They say how much they hated the movie. They didn't want nobody to watch the movie. They wish they never did the movie or given their book to them to do them. But everybody does this. Even when people have real life, when they make a movie about a real life person, and it's always the person who's still alive that says, oh, I hated it. I didn't like how they portrayed me. They do this as a spell to make you go run and see, like, oh, what are they talking about? They do this as for a marketing ploy. So the reason why this so-called black artist or black novelist is coming out and talking about how much she hates or how she feels bad, what they did to her about this movie and what they did to her book and how they changed certain things, it's all a marketing ploy. They want Negroes to go back there and get into ancestral worship. And ancestral worship and Yoruba worship is linked to those water spirits, is linked to hypersexuality. If you read anything about the Orishas, like Ogun, Oshun, like this how they started out, it has a lot to do with incest. One of those two gods, I don't know the names, but one of those two gods ends up raping their mother. Another one rapes their sister. And I think they have children or something like that. So it's based upon the days of Noah. It's based upon that hyper-fornication that they did around that time. That's why so many of those Orishas have something to do with water. If you go back to Egypt, their god Atum, A-T-U-M. This is how they say that the Egyptian gods were birthed. there was a guy named Adam. What he did was ejaculate into his own mouth and spit out his children. And that's where Horse, Set, Isis, all of them come from. Nut, Put, all of them. That's where they come from. Their origin story comes from a god named Atom. And he masturbates into his own mouth. And then he spits out his children. Fam, only Hamites and hypersexual people can think of something like this. And it goes deeper with that when you come to Horus and Set. Because the story with Horus and Set is mentioned in referencing a lettuce. Or I think it's, yeah, it's lettuce. Because Horus's favorite vegetable was lettuce. So what they wanted to do was embarrass Horus because Horus raped Seth. And Seth is also the nephew of Horus. So Seth gets raped by Horus at a party. He gets him drunk or something like that, and he anally rapes him. So he wanted to show that he had power over him by bringing him into the court to embarrass him and try to raise up his semen up out of Seth. So what Seth did was not let him go into his anal or ejaculate into his anal. He put his hand back there instead because Horus was drunk. And Horus and Seth caught the semen and threw it away. So he tells Isis, his mother, about this plan. So she says, okay, let's get him back. So they go into the garden and they get Horus's favorite vegetable, which was lettuce. Isis ejaculates Seth semen into the lettuce, and then they give it to a present, they give it as a present to Horus. He eats it. Then the big day of the showdown comes where Horus is going to make the semen come up out of Seth to embarrass him. Instead, it doesn't, and Seth makes his semen come up out of Horus, and Horus is embarrassed, and blah, 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 blah. And that's the end of the story. Look it up. Look it up. It's in there, but I'm trying to tell you that that's the fallen seed that came through from Ham. That fallen seed came through Ham. If you look at what the Israelites had to go through when they went through Africa, when they went in the 40 days of wilderness and they came upon the land and they saw giants, they saw a race of Hamite giants. That's what they saw. That fallen seed came through Ham. And not Ham, maybe his woman. That seed was passed along. So if you understand how perverted everything was in the days of Noah and how it ended up on that boat out of the bloodline of Ham, then you see why this world is the way it is. It spread it out like a virus, like a cancer. So all this ancestral worship and Yoruba worship and Orisha worship, all these sexual deities, these feminine spirits, these fertility gods, it's all rooted in something around water or has to do with water, most of them. So I thought that was interesting. When the Most High truly does not play about vengeance and recompensing upon somebody else's head. So I can only imagine all this technology that they're building. All these drones that they're building, pretty much like the Terminator 2 Skynet. They building all of this, this Project Insight that they talk about in the Avengers. All of this is going to be used on man itself. The Most High has truly taken all the power off of man to control these AI robots, these AI drones, and it's going to be turned on man. So we really have nothing to fear. The Most High is doing all this or allowing them to do all this just so he can make it their destruction. We should truly not even care. We should laugh at these people. Because if they truly wanted to eradicate a billion people on this earth, or they really wanted to enslave us, they would do that already. Wouldn't you think? They have the military to do it. They have the infrastructure to do it. They have the firepower to do it. Why would they care if they want to control 1 billion and leave 7 billion people massacred? They don't care. They think that the world is overpopulated. So why wouldn't they right now just go after all the people when they have the, like I said, the military industrial complex to do so. None of us have tanks. None of us have weaponry to even fight against the government or fight against the military. They got helicopters, they got ships, they got bombs, they got nuclear weapons. Like, please. There's a reason why they don't have that power. The Most High is not even allowing them to do, even to those who are not awakened, he's still not allowing these people who run this world to truly have that much power. So this is why I laugh when people say, oh, they cloning people. They don't have that much power. If they truly had it, they would use it already. They wouldn't have to predictive program us into every little thing. And it's getting obscene now. The predictive programming in every little thing. They wouldn't be able to keep using 33 and 666 over and over and over and over and over and over again. If they truly had power, they have to do this so you can be subconsciously programmed and to help them build the Tower of Babel. So the Most High is allowing them to do all this, organizing these weapons, organizing their own destruction for our benefit. It's talked about in the Book of Enoch too. I just can't remember the chapter where it says that Enoch was watching these angels build the instruments for Satan. He said, and they asked him, like, well, why are they building this? He said, these are the instruments that Satan is going to use. So basically, the technology that we get now, the technology that we've seen rise so fast and rapidly in this generation, this is what the fallen angels are helping man do, to create their own destruction, to destroy themselves, for the wicked to destroy themselves. This destruction is not for us. This is why he wanted us away from this world. The same thing with Moshe, Aaron, in the wilderness. When he told them, I'm going to make a nation out of just you, your bloodline, Moshe and Aaron. Step back. I'm going to destroy these people in the camp for their disobedience, for them mumbling against me. That's all we're doing. We're stepping back. We choose to follow the Most High Yahuwah and choose to be obedient. So we're going to back a little bit while he consumes the rest of this nation in fire. A brother asked if I could speak on this topic of when to leave them alone. I have a lot of people close to me who have consumed a lot of my time. I begin to encourage them in the way and share my spiritual walk and thoughts on world truths. But I notice when my perspective goes off mainstream religion, I feel friction, the energy, the silent rejection. Now I've only become an empath and it consumes me almost to the point where I am conflicted. I can't stand feeling their burden. First of all, my brother, now you feel how Yahusha felt. If you go to Mark 6, 1 through 6, it says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Shabbat was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Miriam, the brother of Yaakov and Yosef and of Yehuda and Shimon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Yahusha said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he was marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around about the villages teaching. Do not let your people, your bloodline, or those in your household stop you from teaching and reaching others. You are still planting seeds. Mind you, you're dealing with tough soil. Just like Yahusha was dealing with tough soil. And the only way you can truly make the seed fruitful and sprout out is if you chop up the ground a little bit. That's what you have to do. Through your endurance, your faith, your perseverance, you will eventually reach some of them. Maybe not all of them, but you will reach some of them. Understand that energy. Understand that now you are in the light of Yahusha HaMashiach. That we are no better than he is, and he went through the same exact thing, and he gave up his life on the tree or on the cross for his entire nation, and they had not understood this until this generation. They understood it from the apostles and the disciples, but truly we have the full understanding of why he did what he did. So that seed has been planted thousands of years ago, and it really came to this point right now where it started to really bear fruit. So don't get upset that your family members or those in your household aren't getting it. It may take a lot of time. I've always said this, strangers come into the truth from your voice faster than people in your own household or people in your own bloodline will come to the truth, because they know you, they're familiar with you. This is what he said, that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Especially when he used the verse of there were going to be conflict and strife in Luke 12, 51 to 53. It says, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. And if you understand in this generation, that's all people are getting is division, strife, racial conflict, race baiting, people at odds with one another. And so people don't understand this is the times that we're in. They don't want to have conflict and war. So they're not trying to hear anything from you, even if it's righteous, about conflict, about changing their mind, about their thoughts, about their walk. He says, for from henceforth there shall be five and one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Because of the truth, he told you that this day will come. Now, some of us have already gone through that process, and we have been conjoined back to our families. I mean, I said this before in the show. I was separated, spiritually separated from my parents and my siblings for 3 to 4.5 years with no contact, absolutely none. And now we're back like no time was missed. But they come back with an understanding of this is what my path is now. And I don't preach to them. Now, my mom is different because just visions I've been getting. When I was separated from my mother, I kept getting visions of my mother's house that she grew up in, which was my grandmother's house in Tappahannock, Virginia. And she has this cute little house on the corner. And every time I had a vision or a dream about this house, it was always dark. No one's inside of it. Always dark. And I've had a couple of dreams where I'm just walking around in the street right in front of the house, calling out to the Most High Yahuwah. And it's like still, it's like I was there. The dream was so lucid. It was like I was there, walking around outside. Street lights were on. Nobody was there. The entire city was like it was vacant. There was no cars passing by, just dark. And I kept having dreams about why I keep going back to my grandmother's house. I mean, I've been there since I was a child. So I have like a deeper connection to my mother's side of the family than I actually do my father's side. And so when I started to introduce my mother into Bible study every Thursday, every week we do a Zoom Bible study. And we started off, of course, trying to get her out of the King James. So I got her into the Sefer. I got her away from saying Lord, God, and Jesus. And she starts saying Yahusha, Yahuwah. Now, and then I guess the next dream of vision, when I think me and my mother was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks into Bible study, I had another vision or dream. And my grandmother has a field where she grew corn. It ain't there now. It's just it's a vacant lot. But in the back of the house is where she used to grow corn. And there's pictures of me as a child with going around the corn stalks, and a picture of me holding up I think it was like a 2-year-old or 1-year-old holding up corn, showing that this is what I picked for, you know, out of my grandmother's little corn stalk farm. So I go back to this house. Everything is lit up. It's bright. And I know this is the Most High's vision because everything with him is bright because of the other visions that he showed me. So it's bright, it's glittering. I'm talking about it ain't hot, but it's just very, very bright. So I see my aunt. And my aunt walks around and she falls and trips. And I'm thinking, that's weird. But I told my mother's dream. I said, since we started having this Bible study, I had a vision that your grandmother's house was bright. Like, it's like we're connecting the Ruach now. Like, the Ruach is making us brighter because you decided to follow this way. Like, so you are going to be, I feel like my mother's going to be saved a lot more than either, you know, my parents or my siblings. But I feel like this was supposed to happen. I was supposed to connect my mother to Yahuwah, Yahusha, the bloodline, who we're supposed to be. And the thing with my aunt tripping or my mother's sister falling, it just so happens, like, recently my aunt broke her hip falling. Now, mind you, this is almost a year or so apart from the vision and my aunt falling. But this was all based on the dream that the Most High gave me. And that dream stuck with me. So what I'm saying is it takes time. It takes a lot of time, a lot of patience to keep sowing the seed. And I guarantee you, if the Most High wills it, and if you pray for them, just like I prayed for my family, that for them to be awakened, if you pray for them, it will surely come into fruition. He will surely make it manifest to you. It depends on how much you want it, how hard you want it. Now, if you get frustrated and leave them alone and say, oh, I can't take it anymore, I get it. But truly, if you are used as a light in your household or as a light in your bloodline, do not take it lightly. It's supposed to come with these challenges. It's supposed to come with them siphoning your energy. Now, you know when it's time to back away, when you start to transgress the Most High's commandments or thinking about transgressing the Most High's commandments. That's when you truly step away. If you're not at that point right now, then I wouldn't say step away. If it's so much conflict and they're siphoning so much energy from you that you're feeling hopeless, and then you're thinking like, oh, I'm going to go back into a vice, or I'm going back into my old ways, or I'm going back into my old escapism habits, then I would say back away from them. But if they haven't done that to you yet, then this is only a small little test for you to prove your faith. Because if we're all racing for glory, then we truly have to understand the path that we are set upon when it comes to being a light in our households or a light in our bloodline. It is it's a tremendous responsibility to be that guy in your bloodline that has to right all the generational curses and also be a light and a continued light when people do not want to see your light, but want to dim your light. That's hard to do, but Yahusha did it. Yahusha did it himself. So even he's saying, like, when he came in to teach, they just tried to belittle him and say, oh, isn't his son Mary, his father Joseph, his brothers and sisters, they called him out if he was a common man. And they say, oh, he just put hands on a couple of sick folks. No, he ain't do really nothing. So just imagine what your family and your relatives and your people in your household tell you or tell about you when you feel like you're doing mighty work. And it's like, oh, no, he's just sharing some truth. Oh, he's just making some posts. Oh, he's just in this new little thing now. Oh, he know a little bit. That's what they do. Expect it. Expect that's what they do. Especially you young brothers. If you're dealing with this now in your families and you don't have a wife, or if you're a woman and you don't have a husband, I guarantee you, you're going to face even more of a challenge when you actually get married and have kids and all that. Trust me, it ain't going to stop at your family. It ain't. It's going to continue when you're married, because the Most High is not going to give you partners that's going to be on the same level as you most of the time. Y'all both growing together. And I guarantee you, it's going to have stumbling blocks. It's going to have snares. You're going to be tried because of your knowledge, and you're going to be disrespected because you know more or you don't know more. It's going to be that way. So don't think, oh, it's going to stop once your family members are out of the picture and you have your own household. I guarantee you, whoever you marry or whatever you marry, it ain't going to stop because y'all supposed to both grow in the Ruach. So growing in the Ruach means you also have to die to this world. And some people have a hard time dying to this world or dying from their attachment to it. You have to remember, some people's relationship with the world is truly embedded in them. They will never divorce the world, truly divorce the world, because it's the world, it's the only thing they've known. It's the only comfort, it's the only knowledge, it's the only understanding, and it's the only thing that's sure when they have an attachment to this world, more than the attachment to you. Like, you're never going to what I'm saying is, you're never going to outlive that relationship with their relationship with the world. You're never going to outlive it. It's always going to be there. You're always going to be second-guessed. You're always going to be not trusted. You're always going to be challenged. It's the way it is. The Most High wanted us to feel what that felt like when he had to deal with the nation of Yasharel. That's why the nation of Yasharel and Yerushalayim is known or symbolized as a woman. He didn't symbolize it as a man. He symbolized it as a woman. How many times the Most High said, I'm going to bless you if you act right, and we continue over time to not act right. We continue to show that we have a strong connection to the world and the world around us. Even though he has shown that we have the ability to destroy the nations around us, we still decided to worship with them. Imagine the Most High seeing down and looking at us every single time we go in and out of captivity, and he just don't understand why we can't stay faithful to him. So do not get overly excited when people do not stay loyal to you or faithful to you. And I'm not talking about adultery. I'm just talking about what you're supposed to be in your bloodline and in your household. That's what I'm talking about. Do not get surprised. I lost all the elements of surprise. Now I'm almost welcoming it because I know when it's coming. Like I said this before, once you understand this world and understand the Ruach HaKodesh, and you also understand how your enemy moves around you, you can almost see it coming. Sometimes I antagonize it because I just want to see what's going to happen. And I antagonize it myself. But at the end of the day, my trust and rest is in the Most High Yahuwah. And I know he's not going to allow anything to come that's going to damage the work that he has given to me. That's how I'm moving. If I'm moving righteous, I'm moving to praise him, to worship him, to do his ordinances, to his statutes. He's not going to suffer me to be moved. I guarantee it. Regardless of who's in my house, who's outside of my house, and who's in my bloodline, he will not suffer me to be moved. And I said this before, when it comes to being blessed, and it comes to doing these ordinances and statutes, the Most High is not going to suffer you to ever be moved, ever. Because if he desires worship and he desires those to worship him in the Ruach and in truth, why would he suffer you to be moved? Why would he take away something that he wants us to do for him? If anything, he's going to make sure that we are like flint, like a hard rock, unmovable rock. That's why he makes sure that our houses are built upon a rock and not on sand. Because this family is doing what I want it to do. So I'm making sure if any enemy comes around and tries to huff and puff and blow this house down, I'm going to turn and recompense their devices upon their own heads. Hebrews 12:1-3. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yahushua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of Yahuwah. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. My brother, do not faint in your minds. Do not think they hold this much power over you to siphon your energy, to make you feel empty, depleted, and defeated. Understand that this day, this trial, this will all come to prove your faith. Because there was one that came before us that did it in an immaculate way. Yahushua HaMashiach. So if we look to him and he conquered it himself, surely we've been given the same Ruach that he has given. And if we are in him and he in us, then it's nothing that anyone in our house, outside of our house, in our bloodline, outside of our bloodline could ever do to us to deter us from that walk or deter us from having that Ruach of joy, of myrrh, of conviction, of fortitude. So do everything with patience when it comes to those who are around you. Everything. And the more you push, the more they'll back away. So sometimes it's good to just let them be. And when you pull away and you still continue to be an example of light, trust me, they will gravitate to you over time. Over time they will. And I only know this as a witness to my other friends. I have friends that I partied with. I'm talking about chased, a couple of coke lines with, hit a bag with, shots with, drop pills with, and then now they've been separated from me for a while. And then all of a sudden, but they still followed me on social media and they started to come back. Then they started saying, oh, bro, I get it. I have one boy in Tampa who was just an insane cokehead. And even he, from following me for so long, and I've obviously kept contact with him and went to go see him, and I had never changed around him. I may not do certain things that I used to do, like partying and going to clubs, but I haven't changed around him. Now he's sending me posts of what he found. Now he's telling me, oh, is this a sacrifice? Now he's saying, look the numbers that I found. So I'm telling you, it just takes time. And this is like, 5 or 6 years of him. He even told me, he's like, yo, I thought you were crazy. I thought you were nuts. But he was watching to see how nuts and crazy I was going to get. And then he started seeing it for himself by what I was posting. I never forced it down his throat. I never said, hey, bro, come look at this. I allow people to learn at their own pace. And eventually he came around and said, like, yo, I get it. I get it. Now you got me like you now. Now you got me looking at numbers. Now you got me looking at the stories a little differently. And that's all I wanted. But you have to be consistent. And that's what people around you are looking for. They're looking for you to be inconsistent. So of course they're going to try your faith. They're going to try your knowledge. They're going to stonewall you. They're going to make you upset. They want to see if the Ruach is really in you, because they don't truly know what the real Ruach HaKodesh is. And sometimes you have to pity them with this type of mindset. They're not going to say, hey, show me what the Ruach is, because they won't even know. Either consciously or subconsciously, they won't know, but they would like to know. So they want to find out what makes you so different from what they've been doing all their lives. You have to show them. Because the patience that they talk about that Yahusha showed, the type of love that Yahusha showed, that is what they want to see. Even though they aren't living it themselves, but if they feel in their Ruach that you may be right, they want to see the fruit of that. So you show them. I know people struggle with trying to bring their parents into the truth, and they just don't understand why their parents are so stubborn. That also has a lot to do with yourself. Has the Most High sent somebody to you to show you the truth? And what have you been doing? Have you not been stubborn to the person that's tried to get you to live a different life or show you the truth? So the Most High is using you also as a lesson that while you try to teach others and they're being stubborn with you, you also were trying to be taught and you were being stubborn with them. I said this before in the beginning of the show when I talk about Enoch. The Most High is amazing at recompensing somebody else's devices, their own deeds upon their own head, so they can truly understand that he is in control. He that leadeth in captivity shall go in captivity. The manner in which a man is killed, that man should be killed also. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, all that is the Most High's doctrine. So, if you are trying to wake up somebody and somebody tried to wake up you and you were stubborn, you should not ever feel upset or defeated that that person that you are dealing with is also being stubborn to you. It's for you to understand through humility what it truly takes in your mind to be set free from this world. And you have to continue plant seeds here and there, know when to water, know when to step away, know when to plant deeper, know when to not, know when to give a little sunlight, a little love, and know when not to. Truly gardening. The Most High call it in scripture, husbandry. That's all we're doing. The Most High truly is the one that's given us the water and he's given the sunlight, but we truly need to learn how to chop up the ground a little bit more so that seeds can flourish. I hope y'all get that and understand that. See y'all next time.